Welcome to the iPod, a new podcast series from Ophthalmology Times where we engage with key opinion leaders in interviews about the latest innovations in the areas of surgery, clinical diagnosis, drug therapy, research, technology, or practice management.
I'm David Hutton of Ophthalmology Times. The American Society of Cataract and Refractive Surgery recently hosted a virtual annual meeting for 2020. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Julianne Matthews, who presented an interesting topic that deals with corneal collagen cross-linking for keratoconus. Thank you for joining us today. Tell us about your presentation.
Thank you for having me, David. As we all know, keratoconus is a bilateral asymmetric corneal ectasia that is progressive in nature. It causes corneal thinning and scarring and irregular astigmatism, which all reduce visual acuity. Currently, there's no defined guidelines to determine what progression is. It's very much clinician and insurance company specific, but we do monitor a number of parameters to help determine if the disease is changing. The most commonly ones we monitor are Kmax, pachymetry, the best corrected visual acuity, and astigmatism. There are a number of grading systems out there, but all of them have inherent failures and none are universally agreed upon. So cross-linking is a relatively newer procedure in the United States. It is FDA approved. We use the Avedro cross-linking system and we follow the Dresden protocol, which is epithelium off. During the procedure, we apply topical riboflavin, which is just vitamin B2, and that reacts in the presence of UVA light to form free radicals. And the overall goal is to stiffen the corneal stroma through the creation of what we presume are cross-links. So prior to the advent of this procedure, many keratoconus patients ultimately progressed and required corneal transplant. Now with cross-linking, we can identify and halt the disease progression much earlier to hopefully prevent the need for transplantation. So as we shift towards more patients being treated earlier in their disease process, it's really important for us to better counsel them prior to the procedure as to what they should expect postoperatively. So the purpose of our study was to assess the outcomes of keratoconus patients that underwent cross-linking, in particular, the best corrected visual acuity, the pachymetry, the Kmax, and how they changed relative to baseline. We wanted to know if there was any significant change following cross-linking and then also look at our complication rates. So we queried our EMR retrospectively for keratoconus patients that had undergone cross-linking. We collected baseline preoperative data and then data after the cross-linking procedure at post-op months 1, 3, 6, and 12. And then we used two-tailed independent sample t-tests to compare visual and other outcomes in all the groups. So we started with 211 subjects that had undergone cross-linking. 10 were excluded for diagnoses other than keratoconus, and then 47 did actually not follow up with us following the procedure, so they were excluded. We ended up with a total of 153 subjects. Just to jump into the results here, the best corrected visual acuity, it's a very subjective measure. It's very poorly repeatable in keratoconus patients. It's variable from visit to visit. Post-cross-linking, we did find that there was significant worsening of the vision at post-op month 1, and then it tended to stabilize around post-op month 3 back to baseline, and then it gradually improved between post-op month 6 and 12. So there was a statistically significant improvement by post-op month 6 and 12. In regards to Kmax, it's the single steepest point on the anterior corneal curvature. We did find that there was a significant steepening at post-op month 1 of about 2 diopters, and then stabilized by post-op month 3 again, and then gradually flattened. And then we saw a significant flattening at post-op month 12 of minus 0.95 diopters, a little bit of regression there. In regards to pachymetry at the apex, at all post-operative visits compared to baseline, we did show thinning at 1 year, about 11 microns thinning compared to baseline. For stromal haze, we did have about 50% of our patients with documented postoperative stromal haze. It did improve throughout their postoperative course. None were deemed to be visually significant. We had 3 cases of infectious keratitis, and then we did have 5 patients that had steepening of their Kmax greater than 1 diopter at a year. All of these patients had a prolonged time between their baseline scans and then their post-op month 1 scans. None were deemed to have clinically progressed or required a second procedure from their treating clinician. Some conclusions and takeaways from my perspective. Cross-linking is a great option to halt the progression of keratoconus. It's really important to counsel patients, especially when it's a newer procedure. Just to sum up, best corrected visual acuity seems to be much worse at postoperative month 1, recovers by postoperative month 3, and then shows an improvement by postoperative month 6 and 12. Kmax is again significantly worse at postoperative month 1, stabilizes by postoperative month 3, and then shows regression of about 1 diopter post-op month 12. And then pachymetry shows mild thinning at all postoperative visits and does not appear to return to baseline at 1 year.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the iPod from Ophthalmology Times. We hope you subscribe at iTunes and let us know what topics you'd like to hear more about. Stay connected by going to ophthalmologytimes.com, subscribing to our newsletter, and following us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. We'll see you next time.